Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
We have a friend of ours, Isaac Little, is going to preach today. An amazing, amazing man who's the best. And you brought your wife, Linda. Yay, Linda. It's good to see you. Anybody else? Is that it? Lord Jesus, bless this man. He is truly gifted. And he's a man that's moving in his gifting. And it's something that I truly admire is he doesn't shrink back. He knows who he is. He knows what you've called him to do. And he's doing it. So, Lord, just bless him and keep him and make him fancy and rich.
Amen.
Am I on?
Yeah, sir.
I always like to say that. Amen. We're going to have some fun today. Everybody ready to have some fun?
Yeah.
One of my favorites, I guess it's the scripture, one of my favorite, it said, laughter works good like a medicine.
Yeah.
And, you know, comedians, they get paid to make people laugh. Yeah. And the people that they're making laugh, they're sin sick. And so for a minute, those people forget about their sickness. Because they're laughing. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I just made that up. No, I didn't. I want you to read this. Because today we're going to talk about your story. Because let me tell you something. No one can refute your story.
Right.
Yeah. You remember the blind guy?
Yeah.
That Jesus spit on the mud. Spit it. Put the stuff on his eyes and made him see again, right?
Yeah.
So his neighbors was like, is that the same guy? You know? Then his parents were like, well, he old enough to say his own thing, you know? And then the Pharisees was like, who did it and what day did they do it on? You know? But one thing that guy said, They got into the theological thing with them, right? They tried to get into the theological, you know, what day, what time, you know, was he a rabbi or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Then his parents wouldn't tell the truth because they were afraid to get kicked out of the church. And then the neighbors was like, yep, it looks like him. That guy says, you know what? Then this is Isaac, the Negro version of it, okay? Hey, he said this. He said, you know what? I was born blind. Matter of fact, I woke up blind. Matter of fact, about an hour ago, I was blind. But I can see clearly now.
Yeah.
He said, I don't understand the theology. I know the guy's name was Jesus, but I have no idea who he was.
Yeah.
See, God has done something in your life that nobody can tell you that it didn't happen.
Wow.
I'm going home now. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. We know the story about Paul, don't we? And you know, Damascus Road, how God brought him out of something, right? We know the story about David, how God brought him out of something, right? We know a lot of stories about how God brought people out of stuff, right? Today, I want to talk about what God kept you out of.
Wow.
Because let me tell you something. Your story about how God kept you out of something is just as important as the story of how God brought you out. I wrote a little book. You know, it's a little pamphlet. And it's my story, but my story is about how God brought me out of stuff. There are people sitting here today, young people, please listen to me. There are people sitting here today that has a story of how they were kept out of it. I'm going to tell a story. And you guys know this story. I mean, you know the story, but we're going to tell it again because I can do it. Go to Luke, and we're going to read Luke, the first chapter. And we're going to read 26 to about 36, I believe. No, we may go to 38. Familiar. Very familiar story. Matter of fact, this is the time of the year that we tell this story. But this story should be told all year round. Because we're going to talk about how God kept her out of it. Uh-oh. And my title today is Tie. T-I-E. Tell it everywhere. Tell it everywhere. Because let me tell you something. People don't care how much you know until they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the only way you're going to show people how you care is that you get in their lives. See, a lot of times we want to tell his story before we allow them to tell their story, and then we can tell our story. Are you listening to me? Everybody wants to try to get the bottom line, the sales thing, you know? We want to win the deal, punch the clock, it's it. Got a notch on my belt, I got 70 people. Say, how about letting them tell their story? Sitting with a guy yesterday, Chris said I can tell this story. I was sitting with Chris yesterday. We had breakfast together. And Chris and I, we have more things in common than we didn't know. He's a white guy, I'm a black guy, you know. It didn't matter. No. We found out that Chris's grandfather, great-grandfather, worked at the same place that my dad worked at. What we got to remember that we have more things in common with people. And if we allow those people to tell their story, we'll be able to get our story in, and then we can get his story in. Yeah. Good? Yeah. All right, let's tell the story. I wasn't sure how I was going because I'm all excited. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Somebody say virgin. Virgin. To a virgin. Say virgin. Virgin. To a virgin. Say virgin. Virgin. I want you to remember that she was a virgin, okay? Betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Amen. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the son of the highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Somebody say forever. And of the kingdom there will be no end. Now that was good news, wasn't it? And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I have not been with a man. See, let me tell you something. If she had been with a man, it wouldn't have been the Virgin Mary. She would have been disqualified. See, let me tell you something. She could tell her story of how God kept her out of something so that she could be used in the time that she needed to be used. Isn't that good? There are people in this room that have been kept out of stuff so that God can use them, because there are people that are going through things right now and they don't need to hear the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. They need to hear your story. Hello? They need to hear the story. How did you not do that? How did you stay out of that? Some of you in here wanted to kill your husbands, okay? Or your wife. You know you've been there. How did you not do it? Because some people in there want to do it now, and they say, I need some help. I tell you, laughter working good like a medicine, right? But listen to me. There are things that are in you. God has created you. He has called you. He has saved you. He has redeemed you so that you can be what? A help in the world. Because listen, we always think salvation is a rescue mission. And God did come to rescue us. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Yeah? But guess what? He didn't just rescue me, he recruited me. It's a recruitment. But because he said, let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are ambassadors of heaven with a story. Not just a story of reconciliation, but we got stories to tell. You know? I can't tell a story about a prostitute because I wasn't one. I picked up one time, but I wasn't one. I got to tell the story, okay? I got to tell it now, don't I? I can't tell you how I got out of prostitution, but I can tell you how I didn't go to jail. You're waiting, aren't you? I love talking about Jesus, right? So I was downtown in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was new in the community and new ministry, and I was going to a ministry that the guy was mentoring me. So I showed up downtown St. Louis on a Monday, Memphis on a Monday, and it was closed. And at the bus stop, there was a lady there, and it was cold outdoors, and it looks as if she missed the bus. So me being the good Samaritan, picked her up, and about a block over, I found out that I probably shouldn't have picked her up. I told her I was a minister, and she looked at me like, those are my favorite customers, you know? So I talked her out of my car. I called my wife. I said, guess what I just did? I just picked a hooker up. And she said, you so naive. Let me tell you something. You all got a story. Yeah. And the world is waiting to hear your story. Listen, this Mary, she says, how can this be? I ain't done nothing to get this. I know what it takes to have a baby, and I ain't done it. And you know what the angel said? That's why you are favored by God. There are some things that you haven't gone through that puts you in the favor of God. Wow. Oh, my goodness. See, a lot of the young people want to be the bad boy, what they're going to do when they come for you, you know? Listen. A lot of you got stories that your peers want to hear because they're going through some things. And they need to hear how you are not going through that situation. And people want to hear, they want to see Jesus, man. And listen, we live in Missouri. And Missouri is what? A show me state. Not just a tell me state. They want to hear it, but they want to see it. I got 5 daughters, and I'm going to embarrass them, okay? And all 5 of my daughters are virgins, or they were virgins when they got married. That's a story that they can tell. Yep. You know, I got 5 daughters. None of them were alcoholics. They're not drug addicts. You know, they haven't gone through that PK thing, you know? Yeah. You know, they haven't gone through that. So when they sitting down with people, they can tell people how God kept them out of it instead of how God brought them out of it. So I was in a service one time, and I was doing this, and I had this girl get up, and she was 14, 15 years old, and she had a story. I mean, drugs and alcohol, sleeping with men, and oh my goodness. And you know what we do? We applaud those things. And sometimes we put those kind of people in ministry. Because, oh, they got a story to tell. So then it was another girl that had grew up in the church. And I told her, I said, next week you giving your testimony. You know what she said? I don't have a testimony. Yeah. Yeah. She said, I don't have a testimony. I can't do what she did, because when she got through, everybody applauded her. You know? So the other girl didn't want to give her testimony. That's when God taught me this, is that you can tell what God kept you out of. That girl got to talk about what she had to flee from, what she had to be pulled out of. See, there are some things, if there's a hole there, I don't have to jump in the hole if you already fell in the hole. Tell me where the darn hole is. Does that make sense? It makes sense, doesn't it? So Mary could tell her story because she didn't do the wild thing. One time I said that, they almost put me out of church. But the pastor ain't here, so I can say it. Man, I'm having fun, can you tell? And what she said, what did she say? She said, what scripture am I at? And behold, well, let me see. Oh, then she said to the angel, how can this be? I have not been with a man. And the angel answered her and said to her, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. What? With God, nothing. That's the new N word for me. That's my new N word. Nothing is impossible for God. What? Nothing is impossible for God. This girl says, how can this be? I've not been with a man. And he says, you know what? That's why it can be. Because you've not been with a man. We got to tell this story more. You know? Not just on Christmas. I mean, this girl was like, and then just think about what she had to go through. I mean, in the community that she was in, you know, and it was men driven, you know, and women weren't even people sometime in that situation. And yet, she had to trust God that what God said was going to come to pass. And she, a little peasant girl running around pregnant and didn't have a man. When I was in school, when the girls got pregnant in our neighborhoods, they sent them down south. They sent them down to Mississippi. They sent them away, you know, so that they wouldn't be shown or seen to embarrass their parents. Guess what Mary's mother parents did? Sent her to Aunt Elizabeth's house. You go to your crazy aunt's house because she said she got having a baby too, and the woman old, you know. But they sent her away. They sent her away because, listen, she had a testimony of how God spoke to her. The angel spoke to her, and yet they were so, I think they were so into them and what it was going to do to them that they didn't think about her. How many times have we done that?
Yeah.
You know, being the pastor of the church or being the leader. And then when your children are having a problem, you don't want to address that thing because you don't want it to make you look bad. They sent Mary, you go to your aunt's house. How many times have we sent our children to their aunt's house, their uncle's house, sent them away? And maybe not physically, but we sent them away because we don't want to deal with what is going on in them. And then they end up the PK kid. Hello? I'm trying to take my time. They told me I got about 2 hours to preach, so hey. For nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Then Mary said, behold, this is, I love this. Mary said this, behold, the manservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed. Remember the blind guy? He says, I don't know about all that stuff, but let it be according to your word. I can see clearly now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what people think about me anymore. It's what I know about me and what I know about Jesus.
Yes.
If when I was 18 years old, 19 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. If I would have died before that, I would have bust hell wide open face first. And so nobody can tell me that I'm not going to heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
I may not have your theology. I may not have it the way you have it.
Yeah.
But I know one thing, that I got a ticket, and my ticket's going to get me to heaven someday.
Yeah.
I may not got my ticket the way you got your ticket. I may not speak in tongues the way you speak in tongues. I may have not been baptized the way you were baptized. But I know one thing, that if I die right now and fail dead right here on this stage, I'm having breakfast with Jesus in the morning.
Yeah.
And it may not be the way you got in. Hello?
Yep.
See, because sometimes we try to get people in the way we get in when that's not the way. I can't talk to God in Spanish because I don't know Spanish. I do. ¿Cómo está usted? Muy bien, gracias. That ain't going to get me hardly any place, right? But I do have broken English, and I know how to talk to God, and I can talk to God the way I talk to God. Hello? Are we here? What'd I say? Ty. Tell it everywhere. Tell it everywhere. What are you going to tell? You're going to tell your story, you know? Because all of us got a story. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all have a salvation story. It might not be you fell out of a tree and an angel caught you in the air, you know? You know, people be, you know, and then you, when I was in the Baptist church, they had testimony service, and they stopped having testimony service. You know why? Because everybody's story got worse than the other guy. One guy fell out of the tree, the other one fell out of a plane. You know, it's like, what? You understand what I'm saying? Listen, I do have an acronym for story, too. You know I do, right? And you know what the S stands for? Simple. Keep it simple. You know what the T stands for? Truth. Tell the truth. The O stands for optimism. Your story should be optimistic. You know? And then you know what? Or R stands for? Real or redemption. You know, because there has to be redemption in your story.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to take that one too, though. And then the Y stands for, you know what the Y stands for? You. Don't it? That story is about you.
Yeah.
It's about him. See, there's three ways to, I'm evangelistic, okay? And Mark, you may, it's a Mark, right?
Yeah.
You may do this too, I don't know. But I let them tell their story. Then I tell my story. Then I tell his story. That's you. I got to tell my story. But I'm not going to tell my story until I let you tell your story. You know? Because I'm going to tell you what. How many of you like ham?
Yeah.
Anybody, any ham lovers in here? How many of you like steaks?
Oh, yeah.
Now, how many of you like steak more than you like ham? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, see, so what we got in here, we got a bunch of ham lovers. We got a bunch of steak lovers. And ham haters. So I saw more people raise their hand about steak than they did ham. But how many of you like ham? And some of you like ham and steak, right? You like ham and steak? All right. So why would I spend time talking? And you like steak more than you like ham, though, right? I don't like steak. I don't. I do not like steak. So why would me and Guy spend the rest of our time talking about steak when we can talk about ham? You know why? Because we have ham in common.
Yeah.
Am I going somewhere with this?
Yeah.
Am I going somewhere? See, we got to find something when we're telling our story. We got to find something that we have in common with that person. Because if we can connect, then we can correct. You hear me? You trying to correct and you haven't even connected. You want to tell people how they're going to bust hell wide open face first, and you haven't even, you don't even know if they, what they like to eat. You don't even know nothing about them. You haven't even earned the right to be heard, and you're trying to be heard. Ouch. Ouch. You know you ain't going to invite me back anyway, so I'm going for it. Is that good? So you got to be simple, tell the truth, be optimistic. What was that? Oh, real. Realistic, real, but it has to be redemption, because that's what it's about, is a reconciliation. Yeah. God has reconciled all of us. Amen. We can tell a story of reconciliation, and my story, how God reconciled me, will not be the same way. I'm telling you, people want to hear your story. Yeah. Isn't that what an interview is about? Yeah. When you go to an interview, they say, tell me something about you. Yeah. Don't they? Everybody wants to hear the story. It's just the way we tell it. And remember, when I was here the last time, I talked about the salt and the water, right? And I want to say that again. My friend was a crook. No. my friend was selling water purifiers. And he sold the water purifiers, and he had a group of people that he was selling the water purifier, and what he did is he took some faucet water and he gave everybody a cup of faucet water, and everybody drank it. And oh, that water was good. But while he was giving his presentation, he had some popcorn, and he put the popcorn out, but he had a box of salt over there. And while the people were watching, I wasn't because I was being nosy, but while the people were watching the film, he was pouring salt in the popcorn. And so then he hooked up his machine, and after he hooked his machine up, guess what? He gave everybody some water, right? They wanted water, right? He gave them some water from the purifier, and he said, doesn't that water taste better than the water you just had? It had nothing to do with the water, it had something to do with the salt. The Bible says what? We are the salt of the earth. So we got to be so salty, and the Bible also so say that we have living water in our bellies. Yeah. But they ain't going to drink from us if we don't make it salty. Hello? Hello? We got to make it salty. We got to, but how are we going to get the salt to them if we don't go to them? We got to be with them. And we got to stop. Listen, this right here ain't nothing but a holy huddle. Come on. This ain't nothing but locker room stuff right here. After we leave here, then the game begins. Right. And I think the pandemic was a good thing for us, for real, because it brought us out of the locker room and it put us into the game. Come on. And we kept trying to run back to the locker room because we wasn't ready for the game. Hello? Then God might do that again. Because listen, this right here, we ain't getting a whole bunch of people in here. But every day we meet people that need to hear our story. Amen. In the workplace, in our neighborhoods, at the grocery store. I talk to people at the grocery store. My girl say, Dad, you know everybody. I said, no, I don't. I just act like I know them. I go in the buildings like I were invited. He said, he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I go in the buildings and it's like, when I show up in y'all's thing sometime. And it's like, who invited me? I invited myself. I show up in places like I'm supposed to be there. Because guess what? I'm supposed to be there. They say, oh, that's cocky. No, it's not. I'm confident. Man, why did God save me? If he saved me just to send me to heaven, he'd have killed me. You know, all right, you saved, come to heaven. Right. You know? See, after you get saved, don't stay in the cave. Hello? After you get saved, don't stay in the cave. Because let me tell you what, people need you. You are God's workmanship. Anybody ever go to an art museum? Why do you go to an art museum? to see beautiful art, masterpieces, right? When I see a masterpiece, I want to know what? I want to know who the author is.
That's good.
Oh. The Bible says you are God's masterpiece, his workmanship. And guess what? There is an attribute in you that looks like God, and he wants to show it off. Can I go home now? Is that good? But listen, what that masterpiece does, it's telling a story.
Yeah. Right.
The Van Goghs tell a story, don't they? The Picassos tell a story, don't it?
Yeah.
You have a story. And God has put you on display because he wants people to see you. They're not going to see God, but they're going to see the God in you. The scripture says, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's in me. You know? Oh, you just caught. No, I'm not. No. Not cocky. I just believe in the Christ in me. And everywhere I go, I'm going to show off Jesus. Because guess what? I'm dying. You dying. And guess what? Ain't none of us getting out of here alive. But the question is, are you having fun getting out of here? At the end of the day, what are they going to say about you after you die? They used to tell me, you're just too preachy. Well, I'm a preacher. You too ugly because you ugly, you know? I mean, hey, I'm a preacher, so what am I going to do? I used to apologize to people about that. Oh, I'm sorry. But they ain't not sorry because they're whores. They're not sorry because they're drunks. And when they're flaunting it all over the place. And yet, we are the only ones that won't come out of the closet. I know I'm getting put out, so hey. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Tell it everywhere. Why not? Yeah. Mary was like, be it unto me even as you have said. I don't know how this is going to work out. The community, the place that I'm living in right now, I have no idea how it's going to work out. But you said it, you got to do it. Amen. And aren't you glad she didn't abort that baby?
Yeah. Amen.
Because don't think for one time they didn't talk about her.
Oh, yeah.
Even one time Jesus was hanging around, they said, we know his mother. Remember? They said, oh, he's talking about he's the son of God. We know his mother. I don't know. I don't think that was a good one when they said that. Well, we know his mother, you know. So she had to go through some things, but she said, be it unto me, even as you have said. I'm going to do this thing because you said it. It may not be easy. The Bible says many are the afflictions of a righteous man, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Listen, can I tell you something? I got prostate cancer. Hey, cool. I had a stroke. I had pneumonia 2 times. You know what that is? That's graffiti on my temple. Because the Bible says my temple my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so there ain't nothing but writings. But when you see a writing on a building, what do you want it to happen? You want it to disappear, right? So they're going to use some kind of solution to get rid of the graffiti, right? Hey, those things that have come up on my temple ain't nothing but graffiti. And the blood of Jesus is able to wash it. And I don't make that announcement to everybody. I just felt I had to make that announcement because I'm making a point. I got a story now. And it's about prostate cancer. It's about those things. And I can tell it. It ain't nothing but a scar. I'm going to tell you one story and then I'll quit. I'm going to tell you a story and then I'm going to read a poem. So I was preaching one time and I was good. I'm preaching to these young people, boy, and I was making points and I was, bam. So at the end of the service, the guy asked me, I said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah. He said, where did you get that scar from right there? And I started to tell him that I was in a gang fight. You know, I started to tell him that, you know, and you know what I had to tell him? Donna bit me. Donna bit me. I was in the fourth grade. And Donna was a red-headed, little red-skinned, red-headed girl, and I really, really, really liked her. I punched her to show her how much I liked her. And Donna grabbed me, and she bit me. And she bit me, and she held on to me. I guess she loved me, too. And so Donna bit me, right? But this is what I want to say, though. Listen to this. Watch this. There's no pain. There is no nothing there. You know what it is? It's just a scar. That's my story. Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you guys. Some of you have something in you that has happened to you that you're still picking at it. Listen, if I would kept picking at this, there is no pain there. There is nothing there. It's just a scar. Today, God wants to heal, deliver you from that scar so you can tell the story from this point of view instead of just telling the story from a hurt, from pain. Hello? Because some of you got some things in you. You know, there are some things that happen to you. Then I'm not going to say God let it happen, you know? Somehow it happened because we live in a fallen world with fallen people that do fallen things. And God allowed those things to happen. But guess what? Today, God wants to heal you of that so that you can say, be it unto me, even as you have said. Because God didn't create you to go through those things forever. He may allow those things to happen, but now you can tell that story to other young people that are going through that.
Amen.
You see, I understand abuse because my dad was an abuser. But my dad is in heaven now because he came to Jesus. But I can talk to young people. I can talk to people about being abused. There are things I can talk to you about because I've gone through it. But listen, Donna bit me. And that's all. I wish I could see Donna now, boy. How you like me now? Man, you guys know that I love doing this, right? Listen to this scripture. It says Revelation 12:11. I'm closing, I am. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? Testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. See? No one can dispute your testimony. As a matter of fact, they want to hear your testimony. I used to set kids up when I was in the schools. I would tell them stories about me, but I couldn't preach the gospel to them in the schools. I set them up, though. I would tell them stories about me and my life and how I got kicked out of Missouri at the age of 17 and, you know, stories, right? And what I was doing is I was being salt to them, okay? And I made them thirsty. I made them thirsty. So they go, Mr. Lou, how did you get out of that? And guess what I said? I'm glad you asked. Because listen, even in the public schools, you can't initiate it. But you are sworn to an oath not to lie to them.
Right.
So when they ask you your story, guess what? You got to tell the truth. And we led many kids, young people, to the Lord by doing that. Making it salty and then providing the water. Because it's in you. You are living. You got living water in you. Stop letting the devil pimp you, okay? Stop letting the devil tell you what you're not. Or when he tells you where you were, say, I'm glad you brought that story up. I'm glad that you brought that up. Because now I remember what God brought me out of. Or what God kept me out of. I'm glad you did that. So, you know, because he'll try to get you to think, oh, you the worst thing since whatever. Man, we've all messed up. You know, but are we going to stay there? Oh, my goodness, I'm having fun. The scripture says, this is said, by grace you have been saved through faith and not that of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. When you're telling your story, you're walking in it. And like I said, the blind guy says, hey. He says, is that a blue shirt you have on? A year ago, he couldn't say that. I'm going to read a poem, and then I might go sit down. I wrote this. It says, you are the best, not the less. Go and tell your story and release God's glory. Be you. Do what you were called to do. And if you don't know, the throne of Christ is where you should go. He's there to show you the way. So listen to what he has to say. Then freely you receive, freely you give. And for the rest of your life you shall live. Yes, you are in demand. So I got a question. What is it in your hand? Listen, my granddaughter read my book, and she's 9 years old. And there was a couple of words in there. I said something about homosexuality, and I said something in there about lust. She didn't know what that meant. So she came to me, and she said, she went to Grammy, and she said, what did that granddaddy mean about that? And Grammy said, go to granddaddy and ask him. You know, don't ask me, go ask your grandpa. Because I do be saying some stuff. But what happened was, I told her, real simple, what those words meant. And what I told the granddaughter was, I introduced her to prayer that day. And I said, listen, because you didn't know what that word meant, so you went to the author and asked the author what it meant.
Good.
I says, listen, God created you, and he created you in his image, and he knows all about you. Amen. Don't go to a fool and ask a fool about you. Go to the author. Amen. Because the Bible says Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. So even if you don't know the story that you should be telling, go to him. Because I'm telling you what, every one of you in here, God wants to use you. Because listen, God so loved your world. We always say God so loved the world. He loves your world. He loved your world so much, he invaded your world to bring you into a redemption with him, bring you into redemption with him, so you can go back and tell your story. Because your world needs you in that world. It needs you.
Yes.
You know? The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, you know? They say, oh, some preachers don't talk about sin. I talk about it all the time. But, listen, he who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. You know, we make it so difficult. It ain't difficult. Nope. Listen, I was going to fall in that hole, and he said, no, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just want to see if it's how deep it is. No, just don't walk in the hole. Just stay away from it, you know? I mean, sin will kill you. And I'm not ready to die, you know? And I may have been comical today, but I pray that you heard me. I pray that you heard me. And my message to you is to tell your story. Because let me tell you something. People are waiting to hear you in the workplace, in the grocery stores. I'll get a conversation with people, and sometimes I won't say nothing about Jesus, you know, because what I'm doing right now, I'm just watering or planting the seed. You know, you don't have to always have to dig up the crop. You don't have to be the harvester all the time. Just find out where God wants you in that person's life and then become that person in their life.
Amen.
Does that make sense? You know, because I was a Baptist preacher. I'm an ordained missionary Baptist preacher, and everybody was going to hell, and I was there to rescue them. Man,
amen.
I didn't get a lot of people saved like that. But then when I started getting into their lives and finding out if they were a ham person or a steak person, you know, then all of a sudden I was able to minister because I was part of them, of their lives. You got to become part of somebody's life before you can get all up in their business. In my neighborhood, it's like, you better get out of my business, you know? You get a beat down all up in somebody's business. No, you don't do that. Yeah, but if you get in the neighborhood and you become part of that neighborhood, then you can speak into that neighborhood. Yes. Oh, my goodness, I got it gold, don't I? Oh, yeah, the rest of that poem says, you are called, now go and have a ball. Amen. Let's pray. And Father God, you said that if your word goes out, it will not return empty to you. You know my story. Thank you, Lord, that you saved us, you delivered us, you set us free. And that this week is going to be in a fantastic week because we're going to be who you want us to be. We're going to do what you want us to do. And we're going to see so many people come to know you, Father, come to know you in a different way because we're going to bring your presence to every place that we go, Father. I just pray on this congregation, God, I pray for an anointing that will come up on them, that they will believe in what you say about them and stop believing what the world says, but they will believe what the word says. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do in us, through us, and for us, Father. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
Wow.
Thank you. Isaac, appreciate it.
Amen.
Everybody this week, go out. Tell your story, listen to somebody's story, and if you run into somebody named Donna with red hair, run the other way.
No, send it to me. I need to see Donna.
Yes. Prayer team will be up front, so please, if you want any prayer for anything.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.